President Obama is in Toledo for a United Auto Workers rally today, and Vice President Biden is in Detroit. Both those stops underscore the fact that the Obama administration's rescue of the auto industry is part of the political debate this year. Critics of that rescue have particularly focused on General Motors. They sometimes call the iconic company Government Motors, in part because the federal government still owns a third of it. So how is GM doing since its rescue? It was number one in the world in vehicle sales last year, but this year it's lost market share and its profits are down. Micheline Maynard is a contributor at Fords.com and former Detroit bureau chief for the New York Times. Mickey, GM had a sharp drop in profits in the second quarter of this year, but the company is still making billions instead of losing billions as it was before the bailout. So is it fair to say that the company has had a mixed record since the bailout?
Sure. I don't think you can declare General Motors' comeback to have been a resounding success. There are a couple of reasons. I think the biggest reason is Europe. The companies over there didn't really go through the same crisis that companies went through in the United States, and so they didn't cut and close plants the way companies did here in the late zeros. But now the European market is collapsing. Sales in Italy, for example, are down 20%.
European buyers aren't buying GM?
European buyers are kind of holding back on buying everything. The European thing has kind of popped up just as you think that you've plugged the hole in one dike in terms of the American market, then Europe is cracking the bricks.
And what about the bailout repayment? Because you write that the company has paid back what it's required to under the law, but the taxpayers are still on the hook. How does that work?
General Motors and Chrysler were only required to pay back a portion of the money that they got. In total, the entire industry got about $82 billion. In return for government help, the government took a stake in General Motors, and now the government owns about a third of General Motors. The General Motors is very, very eager for the government to sell its shares, but on the other hand, the Treasury Department doesn't have to, and it doesn't want to sell those shares at a loss. And so that puts General Motors in sort of this limbo. It has paid back what it was required by law to pay back, but the government still owns a big stake in it, and until the government thinks it can break even or make a profit, it's not going to sell its shares. So General Motors has to deal with the whole Government Motors tag.
And GM is still making a profit, as we said, but much less than it had been. And it also has some longer-term worries. You know, you write that 17.5% of new cars bought this year are GM cars, but that's the lowest share of the car market that the company has had since the 1920s. What accounts for that?
Well, first of all, General Motors got rid of a bunch of brands when it went through bankruptcy. So they no longer sell Saturn, they no longer sell Pontiac or Hummer, and they sold Saab.
So there are fewer cars to buy.
There are fewer brands, fewer dealers out there. Second, there's been an enormous amount of competition in the car market. And what you've seen over the last couple of years is that Chrysler actually is the fastest growing of the Detroit companies. Ford isn't doing quite as well as it has been doing, but it has regained market share. The Japanese got hurt by the tsunami and the earthquake last year, but they're coming back and getting back their market share. You have the Koreans. You have Volkswagen, which wants to become the world's biggest car maker, and they would like to unseat Toyota and move ahead of General Motors in the world market. So it's just coming at General Motors from every direction.
You know, Mickey, as you just said, GM closed dealers, they eliminated car models, and that was to put themselves on better financial footing, but it's also had the effect of meaning that they are not selling as many cars. So I assume they made that calculation, but decided they still had to do that.
They had to do it simply because they were in a downward spiral in the United States. They just had too many brands and too much to confuse consumers. I always said, just think about the cost of the office stationery for all those different brands. And in this case, they did the right thing in terms of their long-term health. But they got their act together, and then they came out into a market that was probably even more competitive than the market that they faced when they went into bankruptcy. This is the turbulence, I guess, you go through when you climb up to a smooth cruising altitude. But, you know, it may be very possible that there's never going to be anything like a smooth cruising altitude in the car market anymore.
Why don't we talk about some of the company's successes? Because there clearly have been, like, redesigns of standard models like the Chevy Malibu. What else has GM done right?
One of the interesting things about GM is that they have shifted their model range to be much more fuel efficient, and they've also put significant amounts of attention on small cars, which is something that General Motors in the past just didn't do, or at least they didn't do it in a competitive way. So you have some success stories for GM, like the Chevrolet Cruze. They've got some new cars coming, like the Chevrolet Sonic. They are redoing the Malibu. They say that, you know, just watch us over the next few years, because that lower end of the market, that more family-focused end of the market, is where you'll see things coming from us. And they've also got a luxury sedan, the Cadillac ATS. It's coming out soon, and it is supposed to rival the BMW 3 Series.
Mickey, in your writing, you've said that, as you put it, GM has not given us a reason to cheer for it, that it's just not a company that's winning our hearts. And at least historically with car sales, winning people's hearts actually matters sometimes. So why do you think it is that GM can't seem to do that, and then how can it change that?
Well, one of the things that people value is consistency. If you look at Toyota, their consistency had been that their cars were bulletproof, and that got shaken. They've had to rebuild their reputation with American buyers. If you look at BMW and Mercedes, they stand for luxury. If you look at the Koreans, they stand for value, and they're getting sportier. And so even if you look across Detroit at Ford, you know that Ford is an American car company with a family standing behind it. Chrysler is this gutsy little car company now owned by Fiat of Italy, and they've taken that Detroit comeback story and made it their own.
And you've said that Chrysler has this winning narrative with the slogan, imported from America, that that's really effective.
Right. The whole sort of imported from Detroit thing has really caught on with people. It doesn't really make grammatic sense when you think about it, but it's worked somehow. And they had Eminem, and they had Clint Eastwood, who was great until the convention. You know, he's given them a halo, so is Eminem. I think GM just hasn't grabbed that attention-getting, consistent message to give to American buyers. I think people would like to root for General Motors, but at the moment, GM has become a political football. And my mom always said, don't take anything for free, and if you do, do a favor right back, because otherwise you'll be beholden. And so I think in my eyes and the eyes of a lot of people, General Motors is beholden to the government. It's beholden to us, the American taxpayer. And so we need to get something back from General Motors in a decisive way before the debt will be canceled.
Micheline Maynard is a contributor to Forbes.com and a former New York Times Detroit bureau chief. She also writes for Jalopnik.com. Mickey, thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Here and Now.